made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 116, all four verses, the second tune, as pants the hart for cooling streams when heated in the chase. So longs my soul, O God, for thee, and thy refreshing grace. It is all the verses of 116, the second tune.
Thank you.
this morning hour can be found in the prophet Isaiah, thereof the 40th chapter, the first 11 verses. First, let us listen to the holy law of God. God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We mention Isaiah chapter 40, the first 11 verses. Comfort ye my people, this saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young.
Congregation, let us ask the Lord for his presence and his blessing upon word and sacrament. Let us pray together. Almighty, eternal, triune Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it is in thy goodness and mercy and providence that we may yet be in the land of the living in the time of grace, and that today, on thy day, the Lord's day, that we also may come into thy house to hear what thou hast to say unto us through the audible gospel, thy precious word, but also through the visible gospel, the sacrament of Holy Supper that thou hast instituted and given unto thy church to strengthen the faith of the little lambs of the sheep. Lord, we then beg thee above all for thy presence. Come, Lord, among us. And thou hast promised, where two or three are gathered together in thy name, thou wilt be in the midst. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, then come. Come at thy presence with the power of the Holy Spirit and bless thy precious word to the whole congregation and the sacrament of Holy Supper to thy dear sheep. Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest each person here, our hearts, how it is in our hearts in this morning at the end of a week of preparation. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would then yet give that only comfort in life and in death to thy dear people, to poor and needy sinners who have nothing in themselves, who are bankrupt, who are poor in spirit, who are mourning because of what they have done unto thee, because of what they still do unto thee, and who they still remain, sin, and how they have that desire to also live for thy will. Lord, we beg thee then that thou would draw them to that table, and that they may be comforted with that only comfort which they cannot find in themselves, but that comfort that comes from thee, from the Father, through the merits of the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask thee then that thou would remember each of thy dear children in thy abundant mercy, and do above all that we can think and ask. Take away all the obstacles, all the hindrances, also those who do not dare to even be called thy people, but they must confess that they know those marks of grace, of misery, of deliverance, and of gratitude. O Lord, we beg thee then remember them and draw them to thyself. We pray, remember the whole congregation, all those who were yet dead in sins and trespasses, and maybe in this week they took time to consider these things, and maybe they didn't. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give that today, by thy word, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they may be made alive, that they may be translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of thy dear Son. Lord, it's thy work to renew sinners, thy work to draw sinners, thy work to guide, to lead, but also to comfort. Unto whom else can we go, O Lord, but thou alone art that almighty, merciful, and gracious God of heaven and earth. Lord, we pray then, help thy servant to preach and to administer the sacrament of Holy Supper. May it all be done orderly, to thy honor, to thy glory, and to the comfort of Zion. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, cast out Satan, bind him up, and that thy word may be proclaimed fully, freely, according to the meaning of the Holy Spirit, and that ears may be opened, blind eyes may be opened, minds enlightened, hearts renewed and drawn unto thee. Lord, we do not deserve anything. Thou could rightly and justly pass us by as a congregation because we can only present unto thee our sin. We have no self-righteousness. They're all polluted, filthy rags in thy sight. But, oh, we beg thee upon him who's at thy right hand, upon thy Son, of whom we may read in thy word, is the Lord our righteousness. O Lord, look upon us, answer us, visit us. We beg thee, Lord, come, pour out thy grace, and remember us in thy mercy because of him, but also through his all-atoning blood, that blood that cleanses from all sin. Oh, we beg thee then, give eyes to see also by those signs in the Lord's Supper of that bread, that broken bread, and that poured out wine, that is the only way we can come unto thee, the only way of forgiveness, the only way of communion with an almighty, eternal, holy, and just God. Oh, we beg thee, seal then those signs to the hearts of poor and needy sinners, that they may in their mourning have joy, and that in their mourning they may receive comfort that no man can give them. Oh, give them that only comfort in life and in death, that they may know that I do not belong unto myself, but that I belong unto that faithful Savior who has bought me with his precious blood, and that they may know they belong unto that faithful, almighty Father in heaven. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, come, work mightily, irresistibly, by thy word and Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask thee to bless thy word, not only here in this congregation among us, but also throughout our denomination, but also throughout the entire world. May thy kingdom come. Bless thy word among Jew and Gentile. Help each one who has the responsibility to proclaim thy word. And Lord, may we lay before thee especially also again the Bolivian people. Bless thy word richly to them. Help those whom thou hast called, and they have a position as an office bearer, as a church worker, or as thy servant. Bless them richly, Lord, and that they may be used mightily in Bolivia for the coming of thy kingdom, that many may be born again, that many may be stripped of self, become utterly lost, and find salvation in that only precious name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask then that thou would remember the whole congregation, not only with all our spiritual needs, but also with our needs upon this earth. Remember those who are mourning, comfort them. Remember those who are sick and afflicted, help, Lord, and bless the means they may use. We think again also especially of Lucianne. Oh, we beg thee, bless thy means to her body, but also bless thy word to her soul, to the soul of her family, but to all of us, Lord. Sanctify these callings, because in this week we also heard of a man, Mr. Truer, who came to a funeral in the morning, and in the afternoon he passed away suddenly by a heart attack. He had to stand before thee. Oh, may we see it, Lord, that our life is in thy hands, and at any moment we could be called, whether we are young or whether we are old. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, prepare us with thy grace by the power of the Holy Spirit. Teach us of who thou art, that thou art that holy, just, but also merciful God. Teach us of that only way of salvation through thy dear Son, Lord. O Lord, we beg thee, have mercy then. Remember those who could not come to thy house to gather with thy people for various reasons. Remember those who are in Bethany home. Care for them, Lord. Remember those who also had an opportunity but had no desire. O Lord, we beg thee, awaken them, prick them in their heart, and draw them to thy house, to thy word, and to thyself. And so, Lord, we lay all these needs before thee. Have mercy upon us, Lord. Come, for thy great name's sake. And, Lord, thou hast said, I do it, not for your sake, but for my name's sake, O may we plead them upon thy name, upon thy glory, for thy honor, and for the comfort of Zion, we beg and ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue now with singing from Psalter 233. Psalter 233, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 6. The first four, and then the last stanza. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. 233, the first four and the last stanzas. And the collections for today are for the Church and the Meritus Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, the precious word of God for this morning, which we will meditate upon with the help of the Lord, is from Isaiah, the chapter which was read to you, Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Isaiah, as a servant of God, had to proclaim many judgments to the wicked people of Israel. But now, in this chapter, he was also called as a servant of God to pronounce a great message of comfort. How was he called to proclaim this message of comfort? Well, we read he was called to cry unto her. How are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ called to proclaim the message today? By whispering? No. We read two things of how they must proclaim the message of comfort today. They must speak and they must cry. The emphasis in the Hebrew is that they must lift up their voice. They must speak with a very clear message that the people may hear. God wants his people to hear the message of comfort. They must lift up their voice. They must make it loud, and they must proclaim that message very clearly. Listen to an example of how we read this in Isaiah 40, verse 9. O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Beloved congregation, this morning, as an ambassador of Jesus Christ, I also have the privilege and am called to proclaim a message. In the name of Jesus Christ, a great message of comfort. Notice that this is repeated. Comfort ye my people. Why does the Lord repeat things in his precious word? For an emphasis. But also, he wants his dear beloved, those poor lambs and his dear sheep, to hear. God desires, Church of God, his children, to hear the message of comfort. He desires to comfort you. How are the ambassadors today also to proclaim that message of comfort? We read in verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. When you study that phrase, it literally means speak to the heart. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. Why to the heart? What does the heart mean? In the Bible, the heart speaks about the being, the person, the very center of the emotion of a person. The heart is the center of spiritual life. It's not in the head, it's in the heart. Those lambs, those mourners, those poor in spirit have a broken heart, a broken and a contrite spirit. They have pain in their heart that they have sinned against God, and they need their hearts comforted. Speak to the heart of Jerusalem. They need their hearts comforted. And who? Who is the only one that can comfort their broken hearts, their mourning ones? Only God, that almighty triune God. God, the Father, through the merits of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can comfort with that message, with the precious gospel. Oh, how those little lambs and that sheep long for a little token of goodness, of love, of comfort. And those little dogs, they may come to this table for a little crumb from the master's table, a little crumb of comfort, of love. And may the Lord richly bless his word and the administration of the sacrament of Holy Supper by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, we will meditate on Isaiah 40, verse 1 and 2. The theme is God's message of comfort. Two thoughts. For whom is this message of comfort? Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Cry unto her. Who is that? Is it the whole congregation? Was it all the Jews? No, it's a specific people. Who are they? I hope to describe them from the text and from the word of God. So the first thought is, for whom is this message of comfort? Second, what is the content of this message of comfort? Verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her. Cry what unto her? That her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What does this mean? What a rich message of comfort we hope to explain. So God's message of comfort. For whom is this message of comfort? Was Isaiah called to proclaim this message of comfort to the whole nation of Israel? Was it for every individual Jew? Yes and no. Is this message of comfort, which God calls his ambassadors to proclaim, is it for everyone? Yes and no. What do you mean? Dear congregation, I must proclaim that there is a way of comfort through Jesus Christ. I must proclaim to the whole congregation that there is comfort through him. But there is a specific people that God desires to comfort. He says, comfort ye, my people, saith you God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Comfort flows from the merits of Jesus Christ that he has purchased with his perfect life, but especially with his sacrifice on the cross. And this comfort is sufficient to comfort a whole world of wicked sinners. It's abundantly sufficient, but it's efficacious. It's effective. For who? For his dear people. He longs to comfort his dear people. Is this comfort for everyone? Does God speak comfort to everyone? Comfort ye? No. The Lord is proclaiming a message of comfort to a specific people. To a specific people. My people. The Lord Jesus Christ, in the parable or the story of Lazarus in the rich man, he makes a very clear distinction that not everyone receives comfort. Luke 16, verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. We see there's a distinction. So who is this message of comfort for? For all the Jews? They all may hear it, but it's for a specific people. Yes, they were all guilty, but many of them didn't repent. They heard that message, repent ye, but they carried on in their sins. God does not proclaim comfort to unbelieving, unrepentant sinners. Who is this comfort for? For a self-righteous man that is clothed with all his righteousness, who has hope in himself? No. For those who live according to the flesh? No. For those who love the world and refuse to repent? No. For those who hear the gospel, who hear the outward call also of comfort and to continue to live in their sin? No. For those who reject Jesus Christ? No. For those who are only outward members of a church, but not living members by God's grace? No. There is no true comfort for unbelievers. They may hear it, but it's not for them. As an ambassador of Jesus Christ, dear congregation, if you are living in sin, unrepentant and hardened, I must proclaim to you that you are living without that true comfort. And I may proclaim to you the way of the only true comfort. You must be born again. You must repent. And you must believe in the precious gospel. That's the only way to that only true comfort. So for whom is this message of comfort? Who are God's people? Who are those little lambs? Who are the sheep? I think of who God called Isaiah, his servant, to proclaim this message of comfort to: Israelites, wicked sinners, horrible sinners, sinners who worshipped idols instead of God, sinners who had sinned against all the commandments. But God had poured grace in their hearts. They were made alive. They began to repent. They began to hunger and thirst for that promised Messiah. They longed for him. God had poured grace in their hearts, and they were made alive. And they confessed their sin. They repented, and they sighed and cried and longed and groaned for comfort, for the Comforter to come, for the Messiah. Today, this is also true. There's a people, by God's grace, confess, "I am sin." Is that how you came this morning? Is that what you found out this week? "I am sin. There's no good in me." You've come this morning bankrupt, empty hands. And if you come saying, "I'm worthy that God would cast me away, and oh, what a wonder that he would speak a little word of comfort to my soul." And do you hunger and long for it? And are you nothing but a little dog, but you long to come to that table to taste a little crumb of the Master's love of comfort? They were a people who were guilty. Guilty. Who are in the midst of death with everything they have received. No, they do not need to deny God's grace they have received in their life, but they can't live in it. It's not their Savior. But they need a Savior for their soul. They long for reconciliation with the holy and just God. They long for a little communion, a little comfort. They have sorrow because of who they are, what they have done, and what they've remained to be. They need a mediator for their soul. They cannot live without him. They need that only precious Savior. They have faith. It may be so small. It may be so trembly. But it's real. And they long. They long to live for the will of God. And they grieve when they don't. Remember those three marks? Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Of godly sorrow, faith in Christ, and a longing to live holy. Is that true in your life, my friend? Is that what you must confess at the end of the week? Nothing to present to the Lord in the midst of death, but Lord, it's true, it's by thy grace. Listen to what we read in that form. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive and mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of Jesus Christ. God longs to comfort such sinners. Imagine being a wicked sinner in the time of Israel. And God had shown you all your sin, all your wickedness, that you had bowed your knees and your hands and you prayed to an idol instead of to the good, almighty, holy, living God that had drawn you out of Egypt into the land that flowed with milk and honey. That you had sinned against him. And that you know you only deserve judgment and wrath. But then to hear such a message from the mouth of the servant of God: comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This becomes amazing. This becomes amazing grace. And it becomes repeatedly amazing. It never becomes old. All those precious truths, especially that comfort for sinners, it becomes new every time by the power of the Holy Spirit. That people of Israel became guilty under the judgments of God. They became guilty and hopeless, unable to save themselves, but they became a people that waited upon God, longing for God, looking to God. God is just and right. He could pass us by, but oh, a little mercy. is that you, my friend, is that you, to such people, God longs to comfort such wretched sinners. And as an ambassador this morning, I am also called to proclaim to sinners who have nothing, bankrupt sinners, sinners who cannot save themselves, sinners who do not have any righteousness, sinners who have nothing to pay, sinners who long to be reconciled with an holy God against they have sinned, sinners who mourn because of their sin, sinners who look, hope, who tremble, but yet hope, looking upon that only Savior, knowing that it's only in Him, it's all in Him. I am called to proclaim to you, poor little sinner, little creepers, beggars, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. So for whom is this message of comfort? Who are God's people? Well, let's read in this verse. We read in verse 2, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. How are they described in this verse? And why do we need to describe them also this morning before the Lord's Supper? Because those poor little lambs, that poor little sheep, they again can wonder, is this message for such a vile sinner as me? Oh, that would be so wonderful. That would be such a good morning in God's house that He would really speak to me. And so we need to describe them that they may know, that they may hear. Yes, God is speaking to you, to me. Yes, to me. Who are they? Well, they're in a warfare. They're in a battle. Dead sinners are not in a battle. Yes, they are. They're in a battle against God and against Christ. But these ones, they're born again. They're translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of Christ, and they are entered by God's grace in a battle. What do they battle against? The world, Satan, sin, and what else? The greatest enemy that's within their own flesh. Are you? Have you become by God's grace a Christian soldier? Are you in the army of Jesus Christ by His grace? Are you? You are welcome to come to this table. Who are they? They're in a battle. They're in a battle. Are you in a battle or are you at peace? No, you don't like the consequences of sin. But are you in a battle fighting against sin? Why? Because you don't want to sin anymore. Because there's love in your heart for that Almighty God. And you begin to hate sin more and more. Because of love for Him, you want to do His will. They don't only grieve because of the consequences of sin. No, they grieve about sin itself. It's because who I am and what I mean to be. They have love for God because He poured love in their hearts in that moment of regeneration, and that love flows back out unto Him. And they want to serve Him. And what do they find out? What do they find out? It gets better and better. I'm a better soldier every day. No. One of my instructors said, and maybe you know his name, he said they're soldiers with broken legs. That's what they find out. Such poor, sinful soldiers, and yet they fight. They fight. But they can't. They utterly need to depend upon God and His grace and upon His Spirit every day. My friend, do you grieve because of sin? Grieve because you sin against a good doing God? And do you miss? Do you long? Do you need in your heart that only true Savior, the Lamb of God, who came into this world to save sinners, to seek sinners, and to pay for such wretched sinners? The Almighty God, He desires, He longs to comfort His people. Comfort ye, my people, who are God's children. Do they confess they're perfect? Do they find out in the week of examination and preparation that they're perfect? No. They confess I'm imperfect. Are they that have confessed they have perfect love? No, they find out their love is so poor. Their hearts can be so cold, so hard, and God is so worthy to be loved with their whole being. But they feel so wretched, so loveless. Are they who confess they have such good faith? No, they don't. Often they're like that father of that lunatic son. Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Is that you, my friend? The Lord longs. He longs to comfort them. Who are they? They are those whom the Lord Jesus describes so beautifully in those eight Beatitudes, poor in spirit, mourners. They're meek. They hunger and thirst for righteousness. They hunger to be righteous, but they hunger for Him who is the Lord, our righteousness. Who are God's children? They confess their only perfection of being perfect is in another, in Jesus Christ. They confess that their only righteousness is not in me. I need His righteousness. They confess I'm guilty. I've sinned against all the commandments and I have nothing to pay. And they confess I've learned something, that there's only one payment, and I've seen a little something of it in another, in Him, in the Lamb of God. They have no more hope in self, in the midst of death, but their hope is in another. Their life, their everything is in another. They have faith in the precious Savior. We read in Galatians 3, verse 26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." So who are God's children? They long for the forgiveness of sins. They long for a little comfort. They long for the forgiveness of sins. Why? Because they want to escape hell, that punishment? No. Because they know God can have no communion, no sweet communion with a sinner, and they need their sins forgiven, that there can be communion with a holy and righteous God. Is that you? They long for a message, a comfort from God. And God desires to comfort His beloved people through the merits of His Son, Jesus Christ. But what is the content of this message? Let's go to our second thought. What is the content of this comfort that Jehovah proclaims? Notice that this message of comfort in Isaiah 40 is not a wish. It's not a proposal. It's not a hope so. It's not a maybe. No, this proclamation is a divine proclamation. It's a promise. It's a declaration. Comfort ye my people. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. This message of comfort is unconditional. It's unconditional, little lambs, sheep. It does not depend upon your feelings. It does not depend upon her frames. No, it depends upon that rock. It depends upon that Savior, Jesus Christ. It all depends upon Him. And maybe you're looking for comfort within this week and you could find nothing good. Because the Lord often in the week of preparation leads His people into a wilderness. Leads them that they're stripped of everything. Why? In a preparation. Behold your God. Behold the Lamb of God. That He becomes everything. That they cannot live without Him. But because He also longs to comfort them. And the only way of comfort is in Him. I think of Simeon. Did Simeon look in himself for that consolation? No, he didn't. He waited for the consolation of Israel. He looked for that Messiah to come, and he waited for comfort upon that Messiah. And oh, when that man could hold that babe in his arms, then he could rejoice. Then he could be comforted. And it's the same today when those little lambs, the sheep, those poor needy sinners, when that faith may be an exercise and they may look outside of self, when they may look through that broken bread and through that poured out blood, that they may look to that Lamb of God, to that precious Savior by faith given by God, and it may be an exercise, and when the Holy Spirit seals it, testifies with their spirit, oh, then they can have comfort. So to speak, then they hold that child in their arms. And God, that Almighty God against whom we have sinned and offended to His very heart, He longs to comfort, speaking comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. How is this possible, congregation? How is it possible that such a holy, infinite God can speak such words of comfort to such vile sinners? It's only through Jesus Christ. It's only through Him who's satisfied. Is that what you found out? You have nothing to satisfy that righteous justice of God. He's satisfied with His blood. He satisfied the justice of God, and therefore, through Him this morning also, there is a message of comfort. Comfort ye my people. The Lord Jesus Christ said, it's finished. Finished. And so often we want to add something, a little feeling, a little emotion, to have a Bible text, to have a song, something to touch us, but then to come in the midst of death. What a hard lesson, but what a good lesson. Because He longs to empty them, to fill them with Himself. My friend, are you in the battle? Are you in the battle? And do you feel sometimes, I will lose this battle? I will lose. When you look within, I understand, but you shall not. Dear sheep, little lamb, why? Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. It's secure. The battle is finished already. It's secure in another because He has accomplished it. The warfare. Yes, you must continue in this battle, but the ultimate outcome is secure in the precious Savior, in the blood, in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. What did Paul say in Romans 8, verse 3? For you, little lamb sheep, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Conquers, not in self, because we'll only fail, we'll only lose, we'll only be forever cast away, but conquers, Church of God, in Him that loved us. The love of God the Father, the love of God the Son, and He longs to seal that by the power of the Holy Spirit to poor, wretched, needy sinners. There's only one comfort, and we only deserve condemnation. But Jesus Christ was condemned that there is a message of comfort. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who are they? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Dear sheep, dear little lambs, the Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd who sought you and saved you, who made you alive, who taught you as the prophet of sin, but also taught you of the only way of salvation. He has purchased comfort for you, and He longs to comfort you with His own sacrifice. Look not within, but may you be given by the power of the Holy Spirit that your faith may be exercised this morning, and you may look outside of self. For He hath made Him to be sin, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. What is the message of comfort? God the Father desires to comfort His dear children. How? By proclaiming the gospel. By them hearing of that message, pointing to His own dear Son, speaking comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. How? By them hearing the gospel, but how also this morning? That they would be drawn to the table, those little lambs, the sheep, and that by attending, that they may look and taste, take and eat of the broken bread, and take and drink of the poured out wine, and they would meditate on the precious promise of the Almighty God, that triune God, that there is forgiveness of sins and life eternal through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. That her iniquity is pardoned. The warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is pardoned. How? Through Him. Through the Lamb. through the Lamb. Don't only look at the bread. Don't look at the blood. Don't look to what it signifies. The broken body of Christ. He who gave himself so willingly to be broken, to be bruised, to be beaten, to suffer, which no words can describe, not only physically, but in his soul. He gave everything. He gave his life. He gave his blood. And through that, there's a message of comfort. Her iniquity is pardoned. Pardoned. What a message. But we read also at the end of verse 2. And cry unto her, for she hath received of the Lord's hand doubled for all her sins. What does this mean? Well, when you study it, you actually need to take a piece of paper and fold it exactly in half. The one half of the paper completely doubled over covers the other side. And on this side is all their sins, all their iniquities. But Christ, he who suffered, he who was condemned, he who gave his body to be broken as a sacrifice on the cross, he who was nailed, he whose blood flowed, through that blood, that their iniquity is covered. They have received doubled for all their sins, all covered by the righteousness of the Lamb, all covered by the blood. Oh, how precious. What a message. Sin abounds. Right, children of God? You see more and more sin. But what a precious thing. Open your Bible to Romans 5 this morning, please. Romans 5, verse 20 and 21. We read something precious. Because where sin abounds, grace abounds above it. Romans 5, verse 20 and 21. Romans 5, verse 20 and 21. Moreover, the law entered that the fence might abound. Is that what you found this week? Sin abounding, more abominations, more wickedness in my thoughts, in my words, in my deeds. I'm just sin. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. You see that? Grace abounding, but sin abounding, but grace abounds above it all. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear sheep, dear lambs, you who mourn, you who are poor in spirit, you are meek, you who hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is forgiveness in the Lamb. Your sins are forgiven. It's forgiven, nothing in you, nothing in us, but it's forgiven upon him, that Lamb of God. My friend, the Lord, the Almighty God proclaims to the whole congregation, comfort, there is comfort, congregation, seek it before it is forever too late. Who knows this week if you will live to the end of the week? We saw it this week. Mr. Turr, he went to a funeral in the morning. He could speak to people. He could walk. He could talk. He went home in the afternoon and he died. And immediately he had to stand before God. How would it be with you, my friend, if that happened to you this week, children, older ones? Seek that only comfort in life and in death. Seek it in him. But this morning, the Almighty God, the Father, the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit, has a message. Such a rich message. He longs to comfort his little lambs, his little sheep. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfort to Jerusalem, and cry unto her. Tell her clearly what? Listen, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The Almighty God, against whom you have sinned against, sent his own dear son and treated his dear son. How? He treated him, especially at the end of his life on the cross, as if he had lived your life. Why? So that he could treat you as if you lived the life of his son. Jesus Christ was cast out. There was no comfort for him in the cross. Why? Because that was the only way that the almighty holy God could comfort unworthy sinners who only deserve condemnation. It's through him, through the broken body, and through that shed blood. May the Holy Spirit richly bless his word by the power of the Holy Spirit, and may he richly bless the sacrament of Holy Supper to those poor little lambs and to his sheep. Amen. Let us sing now from Psalter 76. Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4. Now unto Jehovah, ye sons of the mighty, all glory and strength and dominion accord. Ascribe to him glory and render him honor. In beauty of holiness, worship the Lord. Psalter 76, stanzas 1 and 4. We will now read the form for the administration of the Lord's Supper, which you can find in the back of your Psalter. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that everyone consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death on the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly as if he had satisfied in his own purpose for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposeth henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those then who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and to declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels, or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat which Christ hath ordained for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dear beloved brother and sisters in the Lord, to check the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none may come to the supper of the Lord but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely, that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lusts of our flesh. Yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desire to fight against our unbelief, and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner we are to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden where he was bound, that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In like manner, also after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, ye shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness towards you, that whereas ye should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross, as to that only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he is become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit, that we by the same who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and us as his members might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love. For Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only shown this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit. Amen. That we obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God with true faith, implore his grace. Let us pray. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with his true body and blood, yea, with him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but he in us, and we in him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary, as well for the body as the soul, as thy beloved children and heirs. Grant us also thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, denying ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads, expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where he will make our mortal bodies like unto his most glorious body, and take us unto him in life eternal. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith, whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. And from thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may now be fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us now sing Psalter 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 187, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Thy loving kindness, Lord, is good and free, in tender mercy turn thou unto me. Hide not thy face from me in my distress. In mercy, hear my prayer, thy servant bless. 187, 1, 2, and 4. Dear congregation, to attend the Lord's Supper, you need two rites. You need ecclesiastical right and you divine right. What does that mean? That means you must be a member of this church in good standing. But that is not sufficient. We also need a divine right. And what is that? That is that you have the grace of God in your heart. And how do we know if we have the grace? How do we know if we're one of those little lambs or if we're one of the sheep of the good shepherd by his grace? Those three marks of knowing our misery, how great our sins are, and that I abhor myself because of my sin, I grieve because of my sin, but also that faith in that only Savior, that he is that Lamb of God, that he is that Son of God who came to this world to seek and save, to fulfill the law for transgressors, who gave himself willingly, voluntarily, to be that sacrifice to satisfy the justice of God for those who have absolutely nothing but sin and cannot satisfy the justice of God, but they see it. It's not in me, it's in him. He has done it. But also, that a taste of that love, their hearts break and they long to serve him. Congregation, you've had a week of preparation. And now, you must, little lambs, sheep, you must not deny his name, not deny his grace. You must, and you may, and you're invited to come, to sit under the wings of that good shepherd. He has a longing to comfort you, you that mourn. You have nothing, only sin. He invites, come. He has made all things ready. There's nothing in yourself. You don't need to bring anything. And to bring something is offense. He has everything. He has an abundance of grace that abounds over the greatest of sins. He longs to comfort mourners. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Her warfare is accomplished. Her iniquity is departed, and she has received double for all her sins. Sheep, little lambs, beggars, little dogs, you may come, invited to sit at this table. He longs to comfort you. Is there more? Little dogs. No more life himself. But I need him. I need him. Is it true? Nothing in self. Nothing. But have you seen a little something of the precious Savior? And you need him. No, I don't want to work on your emotions. But is it true? If it's not, then you may not come. But if it's true, you must come. For his name, for his honor, for his glory. And he longs to comfort. There's none else than we'll administrate the Holy Supper. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. We deserve to be broken. We deserve to be cast out. But he was cast out. His life, his death, is bread for beggars, for sinners, for wretches. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do not look at the bread, but look, he says, to my body which is broken. Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat. The body that he gave, that he took, was broken. And he says, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Eat and be satisfied. There's nothing else that can satisfy but his body. Precious Lord Jesus Christ didn't only give his body, he also gave his blood. That blood that flowed from his wounds. And he gave it willingly. He gave his life. He gave his blood. The cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. What a precious blood. That blood is powerful. We read in 1 John 1 verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all our sins. Not some, but all. All sins. What a comfort. What blood. And God the Father, we read in Isaiah 53, was pleased to bruise, to put to death his own beloved Son. To crush him, it literally says. It's a love that we cannot understand. It's a love that surpasses all our understanding. Because who did he do this for? Did he do this for good people? No, we're not good people. Did he do this for righteous people? We're unrighteous. His son was righteous. His son was perfect. He could look upon his son and say, I am well pleased. But we have learned that he looks upon us and he's not well pleased. Why? Because we're sin. We're missing his image. And his dear son reflected his image. And yet, he bruised him. He crushed him. He put him to death. Why? Because through those wounds, through that blood that flowed, there's comfort. Comfort that no man can give you. I cannot give you. I cannot give it myself. But there's comfort in him. And I will read now a few verses from Isaiah 53. That we may meditate upon the Lamb of God. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and a sheep before her shears is dumb. So he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. We deserve to be beaten. We deserve to be crushed. We deserve to be forever cast out. But the precious Lamb, that good shepherd who gave his life willingly for his foolish, sinful, wicked sheep. And those sheep who do not get better. They don't get better. They only find to get worse. But he gave his life. He gave everything. So that Almighty God can give everything. All his love. All his comfort. He can embrace such sinners as sons and daughters. What love. What mercy. What grace for such unworthy sinners. Let us now sing together from Psalter 426. We'll sing stanzas 3 and 4 while we're still at the table, and we'll sing stanzas 5 when we return to our seats. 426, stanzas 3 and 4 while we're at the table, and stanzas 5 we return to our seats.
Thank you.
Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within thee, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commandeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified in his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let everyone say with an attentive heart as we pray. Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humbly and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us, thy only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits, that thou hast also been pleased that the beloved Son Jesus Christ should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, that through the operation of the Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ, thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayer, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 83, stanzas 1 and 3. Psalter 83, stanzas 1 and 3. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. Blessed he to whom Jehovah imputeth not his sin, who hath a guileless spirit, whose heart is true within. Psalter 83, stanzas 1 and 3. Thank you. congregation, receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.